Welcome back, everybody. This is Tom McNew on the Armor of God Catholic Radio. Thanks for tuning in today. Thanks for joining us here on What Would Father Say, starring Father John Gesualdo. Thanks, Father, for joining us again.
Thank you. Thank you. My pleasure. These are always fun.
We always appreciate your wit and your wisdom.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
For those of y'all that are keeping score at home, this is the third part of our conversation about the seven capital sins. I'm sorry, the seven capital virtues and the seven deadly sins.
Amen.
I don't want to mix that up. So, in our last two episodes, we got through pride, lust, and envy. If you missed those, of course, you can always go back and download the individual episodes from our website at armorofgodradio.com. We're going to try and power through as many as we can here today. And
Amen.
with that, Father, I think we should just let's just start at the top of the list and let's jump right in here to the capital sin of greed,
Greed.
or
First, let me
sometimes
say
known
right
as
off, the ones we have left, greed, anger, sloth, and gluttony. What I think undergirds them is really fear. Fear of
okay.
not being in control. Greed, what feeds greed is just a fear of doing without. A fear of losing out on something. And it's never enough. It's never enough. And when we strive for more material things, I've never heard a person say, "I think I got enough. I'm satisfied." Usually, their greed is for, like I say, material things, and it only leads to more depression, I think, sometimes, because people who are, overly wealthy, they need to find other goals to fulfill them. Have you ever read the book After Virtue by Alistair? I think it's Alistair Malik, McAllister. I can't. It's a great book. It's
Michael.
hard to. It's very academic, but it's a classic.
Okay.
Said that a very wealthy person, if they continue to shoot for more greed and more, they will drive themselves crazy. They will be paranoid. They will envy those who don't have, and keep thinking, if I just get more, I'll be happier. But having money and having things is not sinful in itself, it's what you do with it. And the antidote is the greed is generosity. Are you
Yeah.
being generous with what God has given you? Do you see God in all these things you, because I've been to Acapulco before, and Acapulco, believe it or not, has a bunch of poor people, but they depend on the wealthy tourists and the wealthy people around them for their livelihood. Their
Yeah.
livelihood. I ever tell you that story about the homeless shelter in Chicago with Bishop, I'm sorry, Cardinal George.
Oh, no.
They built a homeless shelter in Chicago. It cost like $11 million or something.
Wow.
And they had a banquet for all the big donors, and he gave a speech, and he said, "Now listen, don't let anybody make you feel bad for being people of means. You're people of means. You have money, but you're generous with your money." And then he said, I don't want to get this quote right. He goes, "All of you exist to help keep the poor out of poverty. You exist to help keep the poor out of poverty. And they exist to help keep you out of hell. They exist to help keep you out of hell." So if you see your material goods as a gift and gratitude and be generous, and but if you become a hoarder,
Yeah.
what's that real rich guy? He was like a railroad tycoon. He ended up living in his house, growing hair and a beard, and never left the bed.
Yeah.
I can't remember what his name was. He just looked depressed, because it was never enough, and he always thought he could buy people off, and he would just all take make more money to get more power, and it makes you miserable. Look at drug dealers down in Colombia, ended up killing them. They didn't have enough. What was the drug dealer in Colombia, the famous guy? Can't remember. They were digging holes, huge holes to put cash in, because he was running out of places to put money.
Yeah.
Because the banks won't take his money. You can't show up with $20 million in cash and give to the bank. They won't take it.
Gosh, that's going to drive me
And it
crazy.
ended up
I'll think
making
of it
many.
later. But you know, you're talking about greed and the you're telling the story of the poorhouse or the poor people, and it made me think about, you know, the Lord tells us we're always going to have the poor.
Before with us, yeah.
And you know, based upon what, you know, that cardinal said, you could make the assumption, or you could make the logical conclusion then that part of the reason the part not completely, but part of the reason the poor exist is to give us that opportunity for generosity.
Yeah. And you got to be careful because people are should be free to give and to see where there's a need and fill it. It's a whole other thing if the government decides to take money from you. Because oftentimes people say, well, if you just had better, more socialism and communism and Marxism, that just makes everybody equally poor. That's what Marxism does. It makes everybody equally miserable. So,
Yeah, these people that
yeah.
argue that we wouldn't have kids roaming the streets of DC at night, breaking into all the convenience stores and the shoe stores if there were programs for them,
Yep.
which is a bunch of hooey, but we know
Yeah.
that.
Oh my God. Yes. What they need is fathers. And
Yeah, that's.
if they could have government programs promoting marriage and family and fathers, it would kill all our ails.
I think our most of the, or at least one half of our government is not interested in that program.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
goodness gracious. So
Yes.
generosity then, Father, kind of, you know, we, I think sometimes as Catholics tend to be worn out, I'll use that phrase maybe, of the people and the things that are hold on 1 second. That's Sam. Sorry.
No
Competing
problem.
demands here. Anyway. Yeah, so people get worn out by the constant nonprofits and organizations and people and things that are asking us for money.
Yeah.
And it's real easy to just kind of throw your hands up in the air and say, I can't give to everybody. So
No.
where should our focus be as we try to figure out where
Yeah.
we want to you know, donate our time, our talent, our
Well,
treasure?
I think the church has generally said when it comes to money, you should be tithing. But not to the church. You should give I've always told people that you give 1% to the diocese, 4% to your local parish, but 5% to local charities that fill a need. It doesn't have to be just soup kitchens. Because here in Temple, Loaves and Fishes is open every day. And a lot of times you get the same bunch of people. I've been there before. And for many of them, the fact that they're hungry is not their problem. They have other problems. What am I talking about? Almost every single one of them has some kind of mental problem. And but you have to be very prudent. I mean, Jimmy Doro worked, he's the guy who was a pastor of Church Under the Bridge in Waco, where he has a congregation of homeless people. He always says, give to programs that help these people. Do not give them cash. Do not give, and most of the time they know where to get food. But what can we do to empower them? He actually had, they have a little school for welders because there's so much need for welders and they teach young men how to weld and it gives them jobs. To give to those charities because if you just keep pouring out money and welfare, it makes everybody equally poor. We've learned this now. I mean, we've learned it. It's just,
We got a few hundred years of evidence to show us
yeah, a few
that
hundred years. I know a poor family, there's nothing more wonderful than a poor family who pays for, I mean, a rich family, a family with means, pays for a bunch of kids to go to Catholic schools. I mean, that's, what are they contributing to? They're contributing to generations of
Yeah.
evangelization and doing so much good instead of dropping off $100 a week.
Yeah.
What a waste that is.
Mm-hmm.
So to find ways to be creative ways to be generous that will help people not just feed them, but will get them to heaven, to give them power them. That's why I appreciate all these trade schools popping up,
Yeah.
sending our kids off to college and getting them into
Hundreds of
$1 million
thousands
in
of dollars
debt.
in debt. Yeah.
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 All right.
I love to tell the story of my nephew who 22, 23 now, I guess he is. I've stopped and do the math in my head. But anyway, kid's never been in a college classroom, and he's talked about welders. He's certified welder and can weld and like has, I don't know, 15, 20 different certifications, everything shy of being underwater. Never walked in a college classroom. Doesn't have any debt. Paid, you know, pays, buys the things that he needs and wants, you know, right out of his accounts, and doesn't have to put things on credit card. And you know, he was smart enough to realize that going to University of wherever, wasn't the answer for him, that he wanted to be a welder, and he's very good at it, and he makes very good money at it.
And it's an injustice to think we tax those people, and there are certain people who, racked up a $500,000 in debt studying, Russian literature. I actually met a girl at UD that majored in Russian literature, and she wants, and they want their
Their
college
student loans.
debt paid by the government. And we don't need
Yeah.
Russian literature. You don't need to go to college to study that. I get you a book at the library.
All that conversation leads us right to the next, very next capital sin of anger.
Anger, anger. Well,
Great
what is,
segue.
again, I think the root of anger is fear.
Yeah.
Fear of not being in control. Fear of being vulnerable. Anger is, the psychologist tells, we have a deacon of psychologists, the anger is a secondary emotion. When someone gets angry, that means they feel vulnerable, they feel out of
Okay.
control, or they feel disrespected. And
Huh.
so it comes out as anger when really it is just a wound. That's why people have road rage. They get so
Yeah.
angry if people are cutting them off. I think I've been cut off twice in my life. People go, I hate getting cut off. How often does that happen? Every time. When something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
Or they get behind someone who's actually going the speed limit. But when we're tempted to anger, it means, it's usually, we use the term control freak.
Yeah.
I mean, I we all struggle with anger. If I walk into a situation and I always have to check myself just because things are not going the way I would have them go, doesn't mean I should get angry. No, let's see what happens. Go, sometimes you go with the flow. Be very careful, because we can be, as people, especially pastors and fathers, we can be bullies, and people just start doing things so we don't get mad. So that takes all the gifts of our confirmation. And sometimes it's a sign of jealousy or envy. We get mad, and I've been watching. We have a bunch of. Well, anyway, we have a bunch of Dallas Cowboy fans in the office here, and every time,
That'll
they
make
lose
your
a play.
anger peak. Yeah.
Oh man, every time they lose in a playoff game, they get so mad at the team and the coaches,
Yeah.
because they put their happiness in something else. And if you put your eggs in the wrong basket, you're going to be disappointed. But angry people are sometimes just de sometimes in their defense, they're depressed. They've been hurt. I remember I was going through something in seminary. I was having a hard time in my like third year of theology, and everybody thought I was just mad. So no, I'm hurting somebody. Something's, I'm dealing with a little bit of sadness. So, well, you look mad. No, I know that's not what it is. You never know what's going on there,
Yeah.
and to try to pick a fight with someone who's always angry, you're gonna lose, and it just makes them more angry. Anyway, go ahead. You want to say?
No, I was gonna say, I think that's an important aspect for all of these these seven deadly sins. You know, it's easy for us to point the finger and be judgmental and to be shall I say, spiritually angry at someone that you think is a big sinner. But we should also always give pause and say, what's really going on in that person's life? And
And I think as the older we get, the more prone we are to anger. That's why older people are seen as mean or mad because they have less control. I remember when I was a teenager, there was a man's house we would go visit, or I don't know what we were doing there, but we always saw him as mean and angry. But he was single, he was a widower, he lived alone. It's hard for him to move around. And it's hard to stay joyful when you're dependent on everybody, angry that your life has passed you by and you're not where you think you should have been. And then people teenagers disrespect you, call you names. Yeah, you have to check yourself. Am I an angry person? Help me to be brave and help me be brave and surrender. I think that's one of the antidotes to anger is to have the attitude of surrender. I'm not control here. We're just gonna go with the flow and see what happens. Yeah, if you surrender, but if you try to control everything, you're gonna be mad all the time.
Is there such a thing, though, Father, as righteous anger? I
Sure.
mean, there's parts of the Bible where Jesus was, you know, flipping tables and
Oh
whipping people
yeah.
in the market, you know.
And when you see injustice, there is such a thing as righteous anger. You know, that's the do not grow angry with your brother, you know, I tell you. But then there is righteous anger when you're asked to speak up, and to try to correct an injustice. To correct an injustice. But it shouldn't cause you to sin, it shouldn't cause you to lose hope. It shouldn't cause you to become calloused or salty.
That's really how we know the difference, right? Between just the deadly sin of anger and righteous anger. Is it leading me into more sin?
Despair, hopelessness. That's what we call salty people. It's you have to fight against what's that cynicism. If you become cynical, and you can embrace that, if you start to embrace that, it becomes part of your personality. You find yourself very alone. And very unhappy. So even though the Lord says, rejoice and be glad, there is such a thing as righteous anger. But it shouldn't cause you to lose hope.
Of course, the antidote to all of this is patience. And you kind of
Patient.
alluded to that.
Yeah, the
And some
antidote.
people I've seen in some places the use of the word meekness. Which I think kind of sort of has maybe in today's society kind of a semi-negative connotation. But patience is certainly something that most of us could use a heavy dose of, myself
Yeah, because
included.
meekness has the image of like a little puppy who's scared in the corner. It doesn't mean you're letting people run over you, but it's a surrender. It's an acceptance of the way things are. You know, that old adage to know the difference, what we can control, what we can't. And if we allow every little thing to make us angry, like a drill sergeant, then we're going to be unhappy people, and it breaks up families and marriages and communities.
And patience, though, is again, it's one of the hardest things, I think. It's one of the hardest things to gain and maintain.
Yeah, and because we're used to instant gratification, you know, we had a big party here on Friday night and feast with the priest. We had all this food and we invited everybody over. Well, there was a line coming out of the church, people sitting in the sun, and I became very impatient because they were just slowly serving people. How are you? No, get two lines. They can serve themselves. What's going on here? I became a bit of a control freak. But the people standing in line were okay. They're standing in
Yeah.
line. That's all right. Yeah.
And I think the, you know, those of us that maybe struggle with a little bit of patience, putting ourselves in a situation where we're called to be more patient, is a way to kind of exercise that muscle, if you will.
Yeah, and the Lord will put us in situations more. If we ask for patience, He'll go, okay, here we go. They put you in a kindergarten classroom. And, when I was teaching junior high and high school, I used to have to tell, I have to do positive self-talk. They're not trying to make me angry. They're not trying to make me angry. They're not trying to disrespect me. Just being kids. It's not about me. Because more than once, I used to, I sense disrespect and fly off the handle. And I have to come back apologizing when I totally misread the situation. It's always very humbling. Yeah.
And again, it kind of gets back to what we were saying a minute ago about you never know what's going on in the other person's life, and
No.
you know, being patient. I think about, you know, standing in at the checkout line at, you know, the grocery store, and the person in front of you who's counting out change or struggling to write a check. Not that people write checks anymore that much anymore, but you know, it's like you never know what's going on in that person's life and what their situation is. And
Yeah. And especially when they go through the line and it says 10 items or less and I got 32. What are you doing? And the cashier won't tell them and it's like it says 10 items or less. Mind your own business. That happened to me once.
Yeah.
It said 15 items or less and these people brought up a cart and I said, "You know, it says 15 items or less. Mind your own business." I said, "I'm
Wow.
making my business. It says 15 items or less." And it turned into a little something that maybe it shouldn't have.
Yeah.
The at
Well, I've been
cashier
in
to
this.
catch. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been in a similar situation, you know, where you stand in line and there's a person in front of you that's got 30 items, and you're like, and I, about the time I was getting ready to say something, you know, she turned around and said, "I'm sorry, I have so much stuff. They told me to move over from one of the other lines because there was nobody in this line." I was like, "All right, well, fair enough. Got to keep the
That's when you eat
employees living,
crow.
you know." So,
Yeah, that's when you eat crow.
yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. All right. Well, Father, we got about 5 minutes left here in our
Gluttony.
episode, and we can tackle
Tackable.
gluttony and sloth
And
here kind of
sloth.
together.
Yeah, I think they kind of go together. It is an
Yeah.
inordinate attraction to just giving in to food and laziness. Again, I think it is fear of going without. Sloth, I think, comes from a fear of failure,
Yeah.
a fear of putting yourself out there, a fear of being uncomfortable. I was thinking about this the other day when I was in high school. I played football my freshman year, but I remember going to football practice in the heat, and I would see other kids instead of coming and going and getting suited out and getting out on the field to practice football, I'd see other kids headed straight to their cars and going home. And I remember envying them. Envying them because they get to go home and relax. But and we would be, just busting our backsides in the heat, dying. And that's what's attractive about sloth. And we have a society that encourages sloth. Stay home, we'll deliver your food, in home, this or that. And people can literally,
Don't work.
yeah, and we have so much food. Gluttony is such a all you can eat, supersize. Do you want a small, medium, large? Those, and we have so, people say, don't waste food. I said, we have too much food. People die in the streets not because they're hungry, because they're malnutritioned. But all this sloth and gluttony teaches us self-mastery. As a priest, when I go into a situation, like I know we only have a few minutes.
Go
It's
ahead.
always a challenge when I work through sloth. So 10:30 at night, Sunday night, I said 10 masses in 3 days around here because of the holy day and weddings and stuff like that, and fill in for people. 10:30 at night, I'm falling asleep on my chair. I get ready to go to bed. I get a call from the hospital. Life flight woman. And I could have just as easily, well, can I come tomorrow? Why don't I send another priest in? Pushing through the easy thing and getting my clerics back on and my
You're
clerics back
doing.
on, and then get, and it was a, and I was groggy and just keep moving. This is what the temptation to sloth and getting up then was a total blessing. It was a total blessing to push through that temptation. And the antidote to sloth is diligence, and
Diligence,
gluttony is temperance, and both of those bring happiness. But giving in
yeah.
to gluttony and sloth make you miserable, angry, and could kill you. How about
And
that?
make Nobody wants any of that.
No.
I encourage everybody to take some time, dive into your catechism, somewhere around paragraph 1806 through 1821 or 22, somewhere in there. It all kind of defines the cardinal virtues, which is where I think our focus ought to be. It's real easy to focus on the sins. Let's focus on the virtues, and then the sins will just slough we'll slough them off, and
All
not have to
right.
worry about them. Father, thanks again for walking us through this kind of this yin and yang of our spiritual
Yes,
lives
yes.
here, the sins and the virtues. And if you wouldn't mind leaving us with a blessing.
And may Almighty God bless all of you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right, folks, remember, if you missed part or some of today's episode, you can always tune in on Sunday afternoon. Well, we will rebroadcast these. And remember, we're still accepting your questions, should you have them. You have something, burning question in your mind that you want to get Father Gosaldo's take on, you can send them to tom@armorofgodradio.com. Or call me 254-371-7566 and I'll take your question over the phone. We'll be back next week, and we're gonna a little special episode next week, a little mailbag special where we're gonna start answering
Yeah.
some of these questions that you guys have sent in. So
Amen,
until
amen.
then, thanks, Father, and remember to put on the armor of God.